The Affordable Care Act is playing out very differently in different parts of the country, and we're going to check in right now on how things are going in one of the poorest cities in the country, Memphis, Tennessee, where more than a quarter of the people are living in poverty. Joining us now to talk healthcare and a whole lot more is Memphis Mayor A.C. Wharton. Mayor Wharton, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Doing well. So let me start, first of all, with the Affordable Care Act. This is an issue we've been talking about at a national level. In Tennessee, the state defaulted to the federal exchange, and last March, the governor, Bill Haslam, rejected the Medicaid expansion. What's going on in your state and in your city with the Affordable Care Act?
Well, we have an all-court press going, working through churches, trying to focus very intensely on what we call the invincibles, the millennials, the young folks who think they never get sick, because that's the hardest group to reach and convince that they ought to sign up. Reality simply has not set in yet. One of the greatest obstacles, I hate to put it that way, is that we have a public hospital here known as the Regional Medical Center, which has always been there. We have large emergency rooms, and I think most folks think that, hey, look, I've heard all this stuff before, and whenever we get sick, we go to the emergency room. And what happens, Jeremy, is when I get all granular and try to get down into the details and try to explain to them that the emergency rooms are crowded now, but they'll be even more crowded because hospitals will lose some of those what they call DSH payments or essential access funds, because of the premise that everybody's going to have insurance. You lose them. Their eyes glaze over there. So it's been a very tedious process. It's just a tough sell, quite frankly.
Well, what's it going to take to sell to those people?
Maybe when reality sets in. That's just it. I mean, keep in mind, those without insurance have been without insurance for decades, and they haven't found themselves dying in the ditches alongside the road. The emergency rooms open 24/7. The med is always there, has a proud record of saving lives and healing folks. And no one has been able to convince them that, that service is in jeopardy also.
We recently heard that economic growth in this country has shot up to 4.1% in the third quarter. That's the highest in a while. The unemployment rate has been falling. It's down to 7% nationally. But it's still much higher than that in Memphis. How are things going when it comes to employment?
Slowly, quite frankly. You know, Jeremy, one other time when we talked, I told you that we have three categories of individuals in Memphis when it comes to work. They're the employed, they're the unemployed, and then the unemployables. The unemployables has still been the category in which there's hardest to see any improvement whatsoever. These are folks who have criminal records, no job skills, child care problems. That's been the hardest nut to crack. Now, the employment sector, the businesses are beginning to expand, but employment has not really picked up yet. We're still hanging at around 11% unemployment. But there are grocery stores, building in the core city, lots of building going on. So there are some positive signs. But as is always the case, it's the poorest of the poor who are the last to see the benefits of a recovery.
You know, just speaking of the unemployable, I went to Chicago this year and met with a young African-American man who had just gotten out of prison for armed robbery. He had served a couple of years, and he was getting into a work training program to try to get back into the workforce. And, you know, you could see when you spoke to him that he really wanted to make it work this time. And just a few months after we spoke, he was put back in jail on another charge. I wonder what your thoughts are on a situation like that.
Well, it takes more than simply saying, okay, you've been away for 7, 8 years, 5 years, whatever, here's a job. It's almost having to create a cocoon of support services around that individual. Keep in mind, Jeremy, you have someone who's coming out of an environment in which a bell rang when they were to get up, a bell rang when they were to go to bed, a bell rang when they were to get the haircut, when to get a shower. It's just not that easy. And this is not a matter of hugging a thug and crying for sympathy. I'm just giving you the reality.
Yeah.
The idea of all it takes is to put a job in front of a person and you got it made. It's the same thing with when it comes to homeless. I have people come in and they say, look, there's no homeless problem here. There's a vacant motel down the street. Well, you don't solve homelessness simply by giving somebody a key to a vacant apartment. There's so many support services that I need it, and we're doing that here in Memphis, by the way. And the same is true with those with felony records. You might say, well, you're being too sympathetic. Well, the problem is we're punishing ourselves if we do not provide them those support services. The young man who's going back to prison, it's going to cost more to keep him in prison than it would be to have him out working and receiving support services that he needs to adjust until he gets the training wheels off, if you will, and can ride that bike on his own.
What do you make of what your some of your fellow mayors around the country basically decide that it's so expensive to deal with the homeless that they would rather put them on a one-way ticket somewhere else?
To me, that's unthinkable. I believe that there's truly a community compact, and the way governments are set up is the individual gives up a part of his or her natural rights. In compensation for that, the society, the government says, hey, look, if you work with us to build this city, when you're down and out, we're going to take care of you. We're not going to shove you off somewhere else. That's unthinkable as far as I'm concerned.
Well, while we're talking homeless, let's talk about homes in the housing market, because Memphis was a place that was hit very hard during the housing collapse. It has come back somewhat. I see that the median sales price of a home is up about 16, almost 17% this year. Are things getting back to where they should be?
Gradually, and up through November, the non-bank sales, which is good, are up 20.4%. And bank sales are down 23.6%. In everyday language, that's foreclosures, distressed sales. So it used to be you would look, oh, boy, there are a bunch of sales. Well, that wasn't really good news because it was banks selling distressed properties. But sales in general are up 8%. So some positive trends there. We're not out of the woods, but things are heading in the right direction.
We're speaking with Memphis Mayor A.C. Wharton. He's been in office since 2009. Before that, he was mayor of Shelby County, which Memphis is a part of, for 7 years. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're speaking with A.C. Wharton, who is the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee. And Mayor Wharton, one of the biggest budget problems that you and some of your fellow mayors have been grappling with is pensions. And I want to ask you about that. In Memphis, you're proposing a program that would end the way the pensions have been run for years and try to shift some of the newer workers to 401ks. Why have you decided to do that?
Listen, it wasn't just a personal decision. It was an economic financial imperative. It used to be, Jeremy, and not merely with Memphis, but with public entities as a whole, your pension obligations and your health care obligations were basically called, in accounting language, off-ledger. We knew they were there, but we did not have to reflect them on our books. With Sarbanes-Oxley and others hitting the private sector, in which they have to disclose everything, guess what? They're now saying government, you have to reflect the same honesty in your reporting that the private sector is doing, and we have to report those obligations, just as the private sector has to report deferred compensation arrangements. We now have to report what we have promised to pay the employees 10 years, 15 years, 30 years down the road. So it is a real liability now. When I try to explain it to the employees, I often give the analogy of, in my family, I have a whole bunch of boys, and while they were, say, in junior high, high school, I would say, get good grades and get into college, and after that first year, we'll buy you a vehicle. Now, that was a promise I had made, but if one day after making that commitment, I went to buy a car for myself, I would not have to reflect that I promised to buy my son a car 7 years from now, because that wasn't a real liability.
Right.
But And that's the same case with the pensions. We've told an employee 25 years from now, you'll get 62% of your salary, and by George, I'll pay that to you till the day you die. And if you have a spouse, once you pass on, she'll get it. Again, up until here recently, I didn't have to tell anybody I had made that promise. So that's why we end up now with what our actuaries say is a $700 unfunded liability. It's hard to explain that because we have $2.1 billion in value in our pension plan and assets. So the employees say, what? We're not in any trouble. But that's where we are, and we're not alone. We're not as bad as some cities. We're funded at over 70%. Nothing to brag about, but it ain't nearly as bad as many other cities and states, by the way.
Well, do you think it's fair in places like Detroit for them to say, you know what, remember that money we promised you? It's not there anymore. You're not going to get it.
Well, Jeremy, when it comes to situations like this, fair is a word that's not in the vocabulary, quite frankly. It's just a matter of survival. And when it comes to how's a city going to survive, the first casualty are values such as fairness and whatever. I know it might seem sort of callous, but that's the world in which we live. Until the Detroit bankruptcy, it was unthinkable. And in Illinois, until the legislature changed the law, it was unthinkable that anybody would ever touch a vested pension interest. But this is a new world. I think the abnormal will become the new normal. I just don't think there's anything that's going to be sacrosanct when it comes to public benefits anymore. So we may as well get used to that. And tragically, what's fair is not going to be the order of the day.
Mayor Wharton, I want to get your thoughts on something else, and that is race. Your city is more than 60% African American. This has been a year where race has been in the news a lot. There was, of course, the verdict in the Trayvon Martin case. There are talk about stop and frisk policy in New York City. How has the conversation on race changed this year among your citizens?
It hasn't really changed, and let me tell you why. In a way, the death of Dr. King here was a curse. But on the other hand, it was a blessing. We have had to deal with the question of race forthrightly. We cannot pretend it doesn't exist. On any given day, there are five, six groups working to strengthen communications and ties between whites, blacks, browns. And by the way, we're no longer just a black and white city. We are a brown and yellow and every kind of city. I spend so much of my time meeting with Somalians and Iranians and Hispanics. We're a different world now, but it is an everyday proposition that somebody wakes up every morning and says, what am I going to do to bring about more racial tolerance, more respect for diversity? So I would say that we are ahead of most cities when it comes to that.
I want to ask you one more thing, and I often ask you about this, about the trouble in Washington and the fact that the two sides are unwilling to work together. And I want to ask what you would say to them this year. And this is a year in which you have had some issues with your city council. You guys aren't always on the same page.
That is correct. But in the end, we go back and we get the job done. A very contentious budget session. But guess what? We ended up with a balanced budget, and we got it on time. These are the toughest of times, Jeremy, and mayors really in the crosshairs here. To bring businesses and employers and tourism to our city, which pays for police officers and helps us build parks, I've got to work closely with the business community. So when those in the community see potholes in their street, but they hear that this company has gotten $15 or $20 million in incentives, there's a disconnect there. And that is going to naturally bring about stresses between the executive branch and the legislative branch. I'm here trying to look at the big picture, what's good for the universe. But that council member who represents a district that has weeds and potholes and abandoned houses can't go back and say, well, I didn't get rid of the blight. I didn't fill your potholes. But I did help the mayor give $15 million to a multinational corporation. I don't care how much you talk, that's just a hard sell. And so we may as well get used to those tensions. You show me a mayor who feels that he or she is going to be immunized from that if there are in a city like most of our major cities in America, they're somewhat naive. They better move on to Walden Pond or somewhere.
Well, what would your biggest wish from Washington be for 2014?
Action. Just do something. And fortunately, with the budget deal, I'm well pleased with that. Didn't get everything I would love to have seen there, particularly on unemployment benefits and all. But by George, at least they did something. And I think the last time we talked, I said, I don't care what it is, just do something. Get rid of the gridlock. And you don't see gridlock in the cities. You see a lot of gnashing of teeth and name-calling. But by George, in the end, we get something done.
Mayor A.C. Wharton of the great city of Memphis, Tennessee. Mayor Wharton, it's always great to talk to you. Thanks so much, and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Jeremy. Take care.